listening to the CCA Podcast.
Welcome to church on a Sunday morning. Are you glad to be here?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here. My name's Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here. This is my beautiful wife, Linnea.
Hi.
Awesome.
And so we just want to greet you. We're a growing community here at Calvary Christian Assembly. And so we're so glad that you're a part of what God is doing. We are here for one purpose, and that purpose is to help people find and follow Jesus. If we're in agreement there, then we're off in the right direction. Amen. This is our first Sunday, as Pat so eloquently put, and I'm just thank you for those warmest greetings from all of you. We just, from the moment we walked in the building on Monday, we launched this past Monday, just hospitality like none other. So thank you, thank you, thank you. The warmth and the love that we feel here is just, we know it's Jesus. So we're off to a good start together. We're looking forward to an amazing morning together. I wanted to just introduce my beautiful wife here. Isn't she awesome?
Yeah.
You're going to love her. If you don't know, you're getting to know her, you're just going to love her. She's one of the best people you ever meet. But I wanted her to just greet you this morning and let you know a little bit about her heart and her passion and what she's going to be doing here at the church as associate pastor.
Hi, everybody. I'm so excited about this new season. I just feel like I'm at the starting line of a marathon, and the gun's gone off, and now it's time to start running, and that's an exciting place to be. And so I'm excited to serve here, to serve you in the area of women's, getting to know the women of our church, being a voice of encouragement to the women, both within and outside the walls of Calvary. Also, my heart is also for our online platform to help build upon and just forward what's already been existing, and so that we can be a greater presence in the Seattle area and beyond. And also just to be with you, babe. I'm here for you.
I like that.
I'm here to lead along with you and just support you in any way. You know I got your back.
Yeah.
Always. And so we're just excited. And so as the start has begun and we start running, we start going at a decent pace. You don't just start sprinting out the line. You run at a decent pace and you find your flow, and that's where we're at this point. And we're just so thankful to do that along with you.
Awesome. Love you, baby.
You want that one?
I'm going to switch to this mic. I'm going to switch to that mic. It has a little bit more juice, so you can hear me a little better. Well, this morning, you know, up until this point, God has had something in my soul and my spirit that I want to share with you. It's a little bit of what we've journeyed through these past 8 to 10 months of our life, and it's something that I feel a word from the Lord that He would speak to each of us in this place. I truly believe God has a great plan for you. In my heart of hearts, as I pray over this morning and over our season together that we're launching into, I truly believe God has a really good plan for Calvary. You see, Jesus loves Seattle. So we love Seattle. Jesus loves you. So we love you. And we're blessed that you're here on a Sunday morning. Did you get a mint when you walked in this morning? Awesome. We want to be a community, a generous community toward outreach. And so we promote fresh breath here at Calvary. I don't want anybody walking around greeting somebody with stinky coffee breath. Pop a mint. Then you can have those close conversations. Amen? A community, a generous community of outreach. God has a great plan for Calvary. God has a great plan for you. So the text that we look at this morning is from the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. You read through the Bible and you read through the text, and up till the 29th chapter, you'll see that all hope had been lost. When you read the narrative of what's going on, the disparaging people of God were under immense pressure. Pained with their circumstances, Israel seriously needed some help. Everything that could go wrong had. Troubled with opposition, they were left as misfits, outcasts, and slaves in a callous culture. As an exiled people in a foreign land, it was the worst of times. What do you do when everything you believe in and live by is smashed to pieces by your conditions? How do you pray in such times? How do you carry on? Jeremiah's narrative illustrates that sometimes the opposite of what we expect happens. But in the middle of it all, sticking it out, suffering and striving as a companion of those going through the same pain, Jeremiah deduces, God's got this. He's got a really good plan. I want you to read the scripture with me this morning. Read it out with me. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. That's what God says this morning. It's a timely word, I would say, for those suffering in pain today. In an article that I read this week in the New York Times, it said this: in our country that has become nearly numb to men with guns opening fire in schools, at concerts, and in churches, the back-to-back bursts of gun violence in less than 24 hours last Saturday and Sunday were enough to leave the public pained, stunned, and shaken. The 200, I quote, and 92 mass shootings in the U.S. so far this year have left more than 1,300 people either suffering or killed. What do you say to somebody who's lost a loved one? This morning, I want to give you three simple but disruptive questions when faced with devastating pain. You have notes. You have a little fill-in that you got, you should have received on your way in. Do consider taking notes this morning and putting it in your Bible or putting it in your purse or putting it in your car and praying these things back to the Lord this week. What we talk about here is merely the launch point for what God wants to do in your life this week. So when you pray tomorrow morning, when you open your Word, your Bible tomorrow, and you study God's Word, put these in a place where you can ask yourself when faced with pain. Number one, does God know my situation? Does God know? Does God know my situation? I remember not too long ago, it was 2014, and my dad, he had stood up in front of the family, and he had broke the news that he had stage 4 colon cancer, 2014. Shocked us all. I mean, if you've ever gotten news like that, you would understand the emotion behind tears and prayers and not even knowing what to pray. Two words I remember praying: Lord, help. Lord, help. Kneeling down at my bedside, weeping, God, help. Does God know my situation? Dad stood up in front of the family and he'd said, man, I've got to go through this. But you know what? God's got this. And I remember just seeing this man of faith in 2014. And the months that followed, watching him go through chemotherapy and the pain and the stress and the struggle that he went through. And praise God, he made it through and he went into remission, and it was awesome. The story ended well, but I don't know what was more hard, watching him go through that or not too long after him standing up again in front of the family and saying, hey, I got news. I have a brain tumor and I have to go in for brain surgery. And just everybody just, oh, around the table. And tears and seemingly hopelessness and pain. And yet again, Dad standing up and he's saying, you know what? I believe God's got this, family. I believe God's got this. And you, Calvary, have been so amazing through this journey. We were down in California, but a couple weeks ago, 19 days ago, Dad went through brain surgery. Actually, 19 days ago, he was still in brain surgery right now with his two surgeons that operated on him. And you know what he said before he went in? He said, "Son, God's got this." And I want to thank you on behalf of my dad, who's actually expressed via email. He says he wanted to tell you thank you for your prayers. They've sustained him through this season. They have proved faithful. Why? Because God's got this. What are you in the middle of? What news have you gotten today? What are you facing tomorrow morning when you wake up? What is on your plate in front of you? Does God know my situation? If you're pained this morning with health, like my dad has been, maybe you're pained with struggles or maybe financial challenges, maybe some relationship issues. If you've got job frustrations or unemployment, I understand what you're going through this morning. God is not surprised. He is aware and he knows. Does God know my situation? I want to assure you this morning, he knows. God's got this. Scripture says it this way, know that I'm God. Know that I'm God. He's omniscient. We have a word, big theological word, omniscient. What does that mean? He's all-knowing. God is all-knowing. It's important this morning. I want to encourage you. It's important that you know he knows. He knows what you're going through. David said it this way, "Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me." All-knowing Jesus, omniscient God, encouraged his discouraged friends this way. Look at this. This is in the New Testament now. He says, Jesus said it this way. He says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Listen to what Jesus said. He says, "In this world you will have trouble." There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be pain. Could you see him saying this in the text to his discouraged disciples? He says, "Hey guys, listen, time out. Push the pause button. What you're going through, I want you to know you're going to have trouble." But he doesn't stop there. He says, "Take heart. Be encouraged. It doesn't end that way." Why? Because I have overcome the world. What is that? That's Jesus unleashing hope. That's Jesus giving encouragement. Here's the secret in pain and suffering. God says this. He says, "I'll refresh tired bodies. I'll restore tired souls." Jeremiah says, "Just then I woke up and looked around. What a pleasant and satisfying, a restful sleep I had." What's the secret? Who's the "I'll"? Who's the "I will"? God. God says, "I will refresh." What are you in the middle of? Is your body tired? Are you worn out? He says, "I'll refresh. I'll restore." I love how Matthew in the gospel articulates Jesus offering real rest. Listen to this. This is for somebody this morning. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on all the religious stuff? Come to me. Jesus says, "Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest." Next slide. "Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me," Jesus says, "and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Keep company with me. Come to me. You know, he says that a lot, doesn't he, through Scripture? It's as if he's sitting here waiting to just talk. It's as if he calls out in the morning when you wake up, "Let's have coffee together. Let's have tea together. Let's talk." See, one of my favorite things to do this morning, I got up at 5 o'clock. It's when I get up. I know it's really early. A lot of people go, "Whoa." But when you have 3 kids and a church and a city to reach, that's the only time I can get alone with Jesus. How important is it to you to get away with the Lord? Well, for me, it's everything. Let me just tell you my story. For me, in the mornings, I love to sit there and to just talk. Did you know that He's here right now? Did you know that the Spirit of Jesus is here in this place? He's with you. He's with me right now. And did you know every day He calls out to you, hey, come, keep company with me. Get away with me. Come, I will show you a real rest. I'll show you how to live freely and lightly. I'll show you how to live worry-free, anxious-free. Just come talk to me. Tell me what's on your mind. Tell me what's going on. He loves to just sit and communicate. You know, in the mornings, a lot of what I do is I tell him a lot what I'm going through, as if he doesn't already know. But he wants to hear. He wants you to articulate what you're going through. I'll sit there and I'll tell Jesus. I'll say, God, the pain that I'm going through, you're going to have to help me. Pain, struggle, perseverance. If you've lived a while, you understand that that's a lot of what life is all about, huh? The push, the plodding, the travail. Well, listen, if there is anyone that I've found in reading the Bible who understood pain and suffering in the midst of needing rest, it was Paul. It was Paul. Paul the Apostle, who wrote most of the New Testament. Listen to what he's been through. I've shared with you a little bit about what I've been through. I'm sharing with you a little bit more about what I've been through in terms of diabetes. But listen what Paul's been through. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 28. I've worked much harder, Paul says, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count, and at death's door time after time. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews' 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. In hard traveling year in and year out, I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends. Struggle with friends. Everybody ever have that? Struggle with friends? You may have had a struggle on the way in, huh? Struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm, and betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather, and that's not the half of it. Huh? When you throw in all the daily pressures and anxieties of all the churches that he was responsible for. What are you going through? What kind of pain are you in the middle of? You know, I read it again this morning in my devotions, and I thought, have you ever thought if we all in this room this morning, we all start putting in our problems into the middle pile. We all put our what we're going through. And then you start hearing about what someone else has been through, and you're like, can I have my stuff back? Can I just take that, perspective? I mean, what this man went through, the pain. But interesting enough, out of all that, if you read Paul's writings, he reiterates, God's got this. God's got this. He's got a really good plan to every man, woman, boy, and girl going through difficulty. How does he do that? He redefines. He reframes the problem. Let's read this. Let's look at what he calls all that stuff that he was going through. He says, I was given the gift of a handicapped. A handicap being a gift? What? Well, let's read on. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he, in fact, did was push me to my knees. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that. And then he told me, My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Now I take limitations in stride. Abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. He says, so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. The weaker I get, the stronger I become. When I read a text like that and I live that out, right? You live life a little bit and you get up and you face some stuff. I've learned that the reframing, the redefining of what pain is, I've learned that pain is actually becoming. Because what Paul said is, he says, the weaker I get, the stronger I become. The weaker I get, the stronger I become. I remember, all of you probably know, I love to work out. I love the gym. Every morning, I'm up at 5 with the Lord having my time. At 6 o'clock, my wife and I were at the gym. That's our workout time. It's our fitness time. 7 o'clock is breakfast, so and so forth. It's just kind of a discipline, a morning routine that I've learned has helped me. And so with me, fitness is one of my 3 F's that are non-negotiables in my life. My faith, my relationship with God, my family. I pastor my family first before any church. My family comes first. You need to know that. My faith, my family, and my fitness. Because if I'm not breathing and I'm dead, I'm no good to anybody. Right? So I remember Struwe, that name will always be. He was a friend of mine. He was a gym coach that I had. I actually went to school with him years ago, Struwe. And I remember he would tell me after everything when he's training me, I'm working my chest. He'd say, okay, now it's time for push-ups. I'm doing the bench press. It's time for push-ups. I'm doing the military press. It's time for push-ups. Working the back, it's time for push-ups. Working the abs, it's time for push-ups. I mean, I was like, this guy is psychotic. What is his deal? I mean, everything. And I'd be doing push-ups, and he'd just be looking at me. 10 more. I'm thinking, what is this sadistic thing? I mean, he's just, what is happening here? Push-ups, 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 over and over and over. And I remember doing push-ups and thinking, barely squeezing out another one, feeling weak. Weak is all get out. And the next morning being sore is all get out. But getting stronger. And I remember, it wasn't as though Struwe was a sadistic, psychotic guy trying to just, he just liked pain. It was that he understood the weaker I seemingly get, the stronger I'm becoming. And so I'd be sitting there. All right, push-up time. And so now, actually, the other day, I remember Struwe. As I sit there and I go, this is for you, Struwe. And I got to tell you something. This is the word picture come to life, okay? When you wake up tomorrow morning and you're faced with pain, and you face something and you're in the middle of a struggle and you grit and you persevere and you plod and you pray and you struggle and you push, and you're seemingly feeling like you're weaker than you've ever been before. Know that in Christ, you're actually getting stronger. Think of it like this, church. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, God's got this. It's why Paul said it this way. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Let me tell you, when veins start to protrude out of your forehead, When your arms begin to shake, when you're pushing through all alone because your mate who told you they loved you left you, when you're faced with yet another hospital bill and you say, it says 10,000, but it may as well say 10 million because I don't got the money. When you're faced with a season of complete hopelessness, seemingly everything is lost. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've had a bad break in a relationship and you're pushing and you're sweating and you're plotting and you don't know if you can take it or make it one more minute. God's got this. I'm here to tell you, the bald, crazy pastor is up front on his opening Sunday, and I want you to know the future of Calvary, thank God, is not in my hands. God's got this. I'm telling you this morning that whatever you are going through in your life, whatever you are in the middle of right now, you're scared because transition's here. You're scared because you're moving into college. You're scared because it's a new season. You've never been here before. You've never done this before. You're scared because you don't even know why. You're just anxious. You're just worried. You don't know where it's coming. You just go to sleep worried and you wake up. God's got this. So then I can't help but ask, could it be that dad's physical challenges are a gift? Could it be that my diabetes was allowed to benefit me in some way? God, you guys have to realize I literally have a thorn in my side. Now, I don't know if that's too much. I'm not trying to be grotesque here. But I literally have a diabetic unit in my, I've literally got a thorn in my side. Have I asked like Paul did, God, take it away? Oh, more than three times. Believe me, I have. But could it be that it's there to benefit me in some way? I've learned that pain is an opportunity. Every pain, every problem is an opportunity to find a solution. I've learned that every solution is found in God. Therefore, if I were to deduce, I would say every pain is an opportunity to find the Lord. Like Paul, you can redefine, you can reframe your struggle only with God. Another question to ask, does God know my situation? Yes. Another question, is anything too hard for God to handle? Is there anything too hard for God to handle? This morning, are you disappointed about something? Maybe a bad break or a setback has happened in your life. Maybe like me, you've prayed for a sick one, a loved one, a friend, and they actually got worse. Maybe you worked hard for a job promotion, and for some reason it fell through. Have you hoped maybe for a relationship to work out, and it didn't? Let's do this. Can we all do this on a scale of 1 to 10? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least, 10 being the greatest, rate the level of your current pain. Just do that, just between you and God, in your head. Just contemplate this with me. Just think it back. Rate the level of your current pain. What is it? They did this in the hospital with my dad. You know those little smiley faces? It's like the one that goes, yay, no pain, and then the one that's like, help, right? On a scale of 1 to 10, just circle it. Where's your pain level? Yeah, I told you a little bit last time I preached about my diabetic journey and how I all of a sudden one night I woke up in the middle of the night and I was in bed and I woke up and I had the worst pain ever, most excruciating pain in my belly. You remember that story I told you? And I get up and we can't figure out what's going on. I'm praying, meanwhile, God, take the pain away, take the pain away, please take the pain away. You ever pray for something and you don't get an answer when you want, right? I'm actually grateful that God didn't take away the pain, because had he taken away the pain, I would have slipped into a diabetic coma. And I'd be like, night, night, lights out. I'm actually glad the pain was there because it kept me up. It led me to the net. What's the cause of this? What's going on? I didn't slip back into sleep. My sugar was so low, it was going lower and lower and lower. I drank apple juice to try to get up, had sugar, blah, blah, blah. Couldn't get it under control. Ended up having to call 911. Remember that story? If you were here, if you weren't, I'll tell it to you later. Let's go have coffee and I'll tell it to you. But I left one part of the story out because people actually texted me and called me and emailed me after they go, so what was it? What did they find? What was the problem? I never told you what the problem was. And so I'm not going to ever going to tell you what the problem was. I remember sitting in the hospital bed. Now I'm sitting in, let's do this. I'm sitting in my home bed here, my room. Now I'm sitting in the hospital bed. How's that for a change of scene? Sitting in the hospital bed over here, and my wife is there. The doctor comes in and they said, hey, we've taken all these x-rays and tests and blah, blah, blah. He says, so we found what we think the issue is. And so I'm like, well, what is it? And so he's showing us the x-ray, and my wife, before he even told us, she goes, what is all this cloudy, stuff? It's like, it looks like it goes all the way up to his whole stomach area. Does it go past his heart? What is that? Looks like he's full of something. And the doctor goes, well, that's exactly what the issue is. Now, I don't know if this is too much too soon. This is week number one. If I'm telling you too much, but I had major gastrointestinal issues. In other words, I was constipated, okay? And so at the end of the day, I've just learned to tell people, I guess I'm just full of it. So pain, right? Well, do you remember how I told you about Stamper? Remember I told you Stamper was one of the ambulatory servicemen who showed up. And remember he told me, it was like the voice of God. He says, hey, sometimes you can do all the right things and the wrong thing still happens. Amen. Can anybody agree with me there? Pain. And so Stamper, I remember Stamper put my arm around his shoulder and helped carry me down the stairs into the ambulance. It reminded me of this scripture. Here's my advice to you. Anybody who's going through pain this morning, here's my advice. Pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. Just like Stamper carried mine. He'll help you out, the psalmist said. Jesus said it this way. He gave hope to a man who had just lost his daughter. I can't imagine losing my daughter Lily. I don't know what I would do. Some of you have lost a child. Some of you have lost somebody so near and so dear to you in the pain. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, don't be upset. Just trust me and everything will be all right. Now, see, that's easy for me to say and encourage because I haven't lost a child. But you know, God has. Jesus, his one and only son, he watched, murdered on a cross. Jesus, if there's anybody who understands loss, it's God. Okay? He says, just trust me and everything will be all right. I love Paul. Paul's such an encourager. He unleashes a God's got this type of hope this way. He says it this way. He says, it was so bad, we didn't think we were going to make it. We felt like we'd been sent to death row, that it was all over for us. As it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened. Instead of trusting in our own strength or wits to get us out of it, we were forced to trust God totally. Not a bad idea, since he's the God who raises the dead. And he did it. Somebody say, he did it. Rescued us from certain doom. And he'll do it again. Say, he'll do it again. Rescuing us as many times as we need rescuing. You and your prayers are part of that rescue operation. Isn't that encouraging? Prayer, I've learned, is a big part of learning to trust. God's got this. Have you chatted with the Lord lately? Have you had a conversation with He? You know, He's here. He's right here. And he's saying, I get it. Jesus says, I get it. What you've been through, I've been through. What you feel, I feel. Have you chatted with the Lord lately? God promises this to each and every one of us in this building. And maybe you're not here today. Maybe you're listening to this podcast weeks, months, years later. I'm talking to you through the multimedia network as well. God's got this. And so whoever, whether here with me now or whether in the future, hears this message, I want you to know God's got this. You're not alone. And he says this. God says, call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. God's got this. That's why I'm encouraging you, church, to talk. Have those conversations with the Lord. Sit with him. We're talking, let's get back to the basics this morning. Sit with him and get to know him better. Even Jesus knew pain. Even Jesus went through pain. Even Jesus called on God in prayer. Like troubled Paul. You remember that scripture we read through earlier? Three times he prayed. Well, like troubled Paul, Jesus prayed three times for his pressure to be removed. Overwhelmed Jesus, stressed and pressed with agonizing sorrow, the Bible says. Jesus pleaded. What did he say? He said, my Father, if there is any way, get me out of this. Have you ever been there? If there is any way, get me out of this. If there is any way, God. But please, not what I want. You, what do you want? What do you want? You see, in a fast-paced world full of noisy distractions, I want to encourage you this morning, slow down. Slow it down. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus and rest. Rest. Rest with him. Talk with him. He's here. On a Monday morning, when you get up, he's here. And you know what? Some of you, it would probably behoove you to set up a chair in your living room or in your room or wherever you are. Just sit, maybe in your car. Just take a minute out. Take a break. He's right here. Seriously, I'm being dead serious. And listen, see, it's an 80-20 deal. It's an 80-20%, isn't it? Where 80% of the time, we talk. Every 4 out of 5 minutes, we're just blabbing our mouth. We do it. I do it. And maybe, if we're lucky, 1 minute out of 5, we listen, right? Maybe. How about we flip that? It's just a challenge. I'm just challenging you. It's the same challenge I give myself, where I'm going to talk. I'm going to get it all out. Lord, here's what's going on. I got this going on, blah, blah, blah. I need you for a minute, right? And then for 5, contemplate, listen, think, soak, seek. Jesus says, are you listening to me? Matthew 11:15. Are you really listening? Bob Bowden says it this way. Once you meet with God, you'll discover something amazing. You'll find out he does more than just listen to you. He has a plan. Plans to prosper you, give you hope, and always shed light on your great future. But to know these plans, you have to, read it with me, stop and listen. It's all Jesus wants is to have a conversation, is to connect. The God of the universe wants to connect with you. What? Really? Me? Yeah, you. Third question, does God have a good plan for my life? So number one, does God know my situation? Yeah. Does God, is there anything too difficult for him to handle? No. And does God have a good plan for my life? Yeah, the day after Dad's surgery, we were in ICU, and I was sitting by his bed praying, thinking, writing, watching, listening. And it was really, really cool what happened next. Nurse walked in to the room, and as the nurse walks in, I see on the back part of the nurse's head, his skull, there's a big, giant scar that just went down like this, all the way down. And he's tending my father, and he's checking his pulse and giving him pills and cleaning things up. And being a nurse, a lot of you have been nurses or are a nurse, and thank you for what you do. We pray for you, and we thank you for that. But this nurse, he just has a scar. And so I asked, I said, "Nurse, what is that from?" And you know what he said? He said, "Brain surgery." Years ago, when he was 16, he had gone through something not identical, but similar to what my father was going through. Does God have a good plan for my life? I want to encourage you this morning, like Dad's nurse who was wounded, now healer. Had walked through some stuff, had some scars to show it. You've got a story. Every scar in your life is a beautiful work of God. God's plans to use your life story are to help others in the same pain that you've walked through. The prophet reassures us that God's got this. He says this, he says, "I'm down, prophet Micah, but I'm not out." It's not forever. Somebody say it's not forever. God's on my side and is going to, read it with me, get me out of this. One version says, "Though I've fallen," read it with me real loud, "I will rise." Mike Tyson knew the disorientation of a knockdown. He once said, "Everyone has a plan until they get hit." Was that okay, impersonation? I'm not the best with impersonations, but "everyone has a plan until they get hit." Everyone has a plan till they get hit. What have you been hit with? I've shared a little bit, just a touch. I mean, we've scratched the surface. Like Paul said, that's not the half of it, right? I've scratched the surface with you a little bit of what's knocked me down. Okay? What's knocked you down? What have you been hit with? What's going to hit you in a future that you have no idea, because none of us typically plans on a knockdown. Right? We all have a plan. We all think we know what we want, what's going to happen until life comes by and hits us upside the head with a 2x4, somebody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What have you been hit with? What do you do when life knocks your plan down? I want to encourage you this morning. Remember this. Remember this. Like Micah just so eloquently narrated. Remember this. You've been knocked down, but you've not been knocked out. Hello? You've been knocked down, but you have not been knocked out. I'm still here. Hello? I'm not done. Dad, the other day, he writes in an email, "Hey, God must have something else for me because he didn't take me home." You've been knocked down, but you have not been knocked out. Will you trust this morning? How do you respond to a message like this? What is our actionable steps forward when we walk out of here, besides just giving high fives and saying, "Hey, that was encouraging"? Here's, reflect this with me. Just contemplate. Ask yourself, will you trust everything is working according to a plan? Will you trust that everything is working according to a plan? In closing, Jeremiah inspires, God's got this.
He says, there is hope for your future, declares the Lord. He says, the time is coming when I will turn everything around. Paul articulates the same confidence this way. He says, we know, read it with me, that in all things, come on, church, God works for the good of those. God's got this. He has a really good plan. When your plan dies, God's plan still lives. That's why Paul said he's the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. God's got this. Like Jeremiah's prophecy, like Paul's redefining and reframing, like my dad's cancer and brain surgery story, and like my diabetes narrative. Be encouraged this morning, church. God's got this. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to extend an invitation this morning. After an encouraging word like this, I'm curious where it lands in your heart. Like we took a pain analysis earlier, I'm curious what the level of your pain and struggle might be at this point in life. And this message today is for those, as all of our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, today this message is for those who need hope. And I know, I'll just be honest, I know that every man, woman, boy, and girl who doesn't have joy, doesn't have peace, doesn't have hope in their heart, goes and searches for it in a million other places. I know what I'm talking about because I've done it. I've searched in education. Well, maybe if I just get this degree. I've searched in fitness. I've searched overeating. I've searched undereating. I've searched in sex. I've searched in substance abuse. I've searched in acceptance, being accepted by my peers and people and boards and churches. And I've searched. And you know what I found? I found Jesus' hope. I found nothing can fill me with joy and peace like Jesus. So I'm extending an invitation, not from me. This is not from me this morning. This is from God. An invitation. If you found hope this morning, and you want to join me in following Jesus, the count of three, I'm going to ask for you to just put your hand up. And the only reason I ask you to raise your hand is so I know who I'm praying for this morning. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. It's just between you and me. I want to pray with you. If you have found hope, if you found Jesus this morning and you say, you know what? I want to join you, Pastor Ryan, in following him. Would you just throw your hand up? One, two, three. I want to pray with you. Yeah. Go ahead. Keep your hand up. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Another one went up. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Yeah, 19 days ago, Dad was in surgery at this moment. 19 people raised their hand. That's kind of cool. Yeah. And so, Lord, I pray for every hand that just went up. And I ask God right now, Jesus, that you would unleash hope right now. His precious people have said, I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready, and I found hope, and here I am, God. And so this morning, Lord Jesus, speak and move. Bring healing and bring comfort. Those who have responded to your call, those who have responded to your prompting and have sensed something in them this morning, something in their soul, something in their heart saying, I got to respond. Lord, I pray that being faith, that being hope, God, this morning, you would just bless their life. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, every person who raised your hand, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me this morning as we close, praying back to the Lord what we've just experienced in song.